Hey, what is going on, Los Angeles? It's J.Dot T.Dot. I hope that you're all well. On this 47th episode, I have a chat with Samantha Halu Hernandez of This Side of Hoover about our special panel series, Making Our Neighborhood, Redlining, Gentrification, and Housing in East Hollywood, which starts at long last this Thursday, March 4th at 6 p.m., to be sure. If you have RSVP'd and you are really excited about this, why don't you share some of your feedback with us or share some of your excitement with us via our new video sharing platform at hope.xyz/makingourneighborhood. That's right. Type into your search bar at hope.xyz/makingourneighborhood with the M for making capitalized, the O for our capitalized, and the N for neighborhood capitalized. Type it in exactly that way and share some of your feedback with us, some of your questions with us. I will catch you after the show. It's J.Dot T.Dot. Okay, Samantha Halu Hernandez, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of JT, the LA Storyteller Podcast. We have been up to quite a few different things through East Hollywood and the Virgil Village area, and so I thought it would be really great for us to sit down and describe a little bit of this process for listeners so that they can keep it in reference, so that they can get excited about our event, maybe even as excited as we are. I feel like so many different people are excited for this, and I'm really happy about that. And I just think it's really good for us to sort of reflect on what this event has been during all this time, also that we could deliver this really one-of-a-kind of experience to our neighborhood and to East Hollywood and to the city of Los Angeles. So welcome, Samantha, and would you just introduce yourself for our listeners today, please?
Yeah, hi, Jimmy. Thank you for having me here today. I'm Samantha Halu Hernandez. I am a resident of East Hollywood, and I am a journalist and photographer based here in LA, and I also run the account This Side of Hoover, which is a visual archive of gentrification, displacement, and resilience in our neighborhood. And I'm collaborating with Jimmy on this really amazing project and panel series.
Yeah, that's so cool. Shout out to This Side of Hoover. It's been such a tremendous week in terms of storytelling for This Side of Hoover, a tremendous couple of weeks, if you will. And to be certain, just for our background, say a little bit about how you originally founded This Side of Hoover. Just give us that background for a minute or two, if you can.
Yeah, so in 2017, I moved to the neighborhood in 2014. And in 2016, I was actually had a cash for keys situation in the apartment building that I lived in. So the landlord sold the building and a management company took over. And essentially, Latino families left and were displaced. I left my building as well. And that experience, as well as seeing just like the really quick changes that were happening in the neighborhood, prompted me to want to do something about it. And I'm a journalist, I'm a photographer. I saw other accounts like Veteranas en Rucas and Map Points using Instagram as a way to archive stories in a way that's really accessible to people. And I thought, why don't I start an Instagram account that documents these changes that I'm seeing and also preserves the stories of people that made this neighborhood special to begin with. So that was how I started This Side of Hoover in 2017.
That's so cool. And it's come such a long way because it has really created this space for not only different people within the community to engage with one another, but also for people of different backgrounds, people of different age groups, people of different sort of affiliations today or neighborhoods today to really sort of come together and think about this space, to think about this geography, to think about the people here and the history here and the importance of preserving that over the future here. And so I'm really happy for This Side of Hoover. And I think that anyone who's not following that page as of yet absolutely has to. It's one of the best pages on Instagram currently, for sure. One of the best resources for independent storytelling in the city of Los Angeles, for sure. So please go and check that out. And Samantha, with all that said, Why don't you tell me a little bit about the background for redlining, gentrification, and housing, for making our neighborhood redlining, gentrification, and housing in East Hollywood? How did this come about? And just give us a little bit of the sort of preludes to this event, which seems to be sort of taking over every little spot that we can find in East Hollywood and Virgil Village, and which so many people online are really raving and excited about. Tell us about the background for this.
Yeah, so over the summer, I had reported on Squirrel. I did an investigation with fellow journalist Lexis Olivier Ray, and it really got me thinking about the role of restaurants in gentrification, and thinking about like what would solutions look like? What does the community want? So I essentially started this dialogue on the side of Hoover on my stories and started posing questions. And as people were answering in my DMs, I would screenshot them and share those, and people would respond to that. And it was super engaging. And it like really, you know, took me back, you know, like it was such a beautiful way to engage in dialogue in a way that felt a lot more accessible. And then at some point you and I met up and we were talking about this and thinking about like, we need to like create, you know, like a bigger forum or a bigger space for these kinds of conversations. And at the time you were also doing your own writing through Jimbo Times. You started excavating these stories of redlining in our neighborhood. And I think that's where we kind of like melded our ideas together. We kind of teamed up and we thought about these three themes, you know, redlining, gentrification, and housing, and how all those are connected. And really, you're seeing the past, present, and future of the neighborhood, and looking at the legacies of redlining and how that is now impacting gentrification and displacement, particularly of working class people of color, and how our future really depends on affordable housing and for people to be able to stay in their neighborhoods. So that's how the three themes came about. And you know, we were like, all right, we need to separate these into three separate panels because these are really loaded topics. And then as we started really excavating these themes, we started just adding more and more collaborators like Little Tokyo Service Center, the East Hollywood Neighborhood Council, the Tenants Union, neighbors like Allie Rachel Pearl, Anti-Eviction Mapping Project. And our project just grew and grew. And, you know, I started meeting lifelong residents of the neighborhood. And, you know, we decided to really uplift those voices in our first panel. So we're going to have a Japanese American elder who still lives in the neighborhood who went through internment. And we're going to have this woman, Karen Birch, who was a fourth generation East Hollywood resident. Her family originally came here in 1892. So that's really, really special. And, you know, this project goes way beyond just a panel series. We also have a public art project. This neighborhood was redlined posters that are all around the neighborhood to really engage people with this topic of redlining and for people to really think about the place that they call home. And then we also have these amazing pamphlets that we designed with the Anti-Eviction Mapping Project, because, you know, redlining and gentrification is such a loaded topics and they're really complex. And we wanted, you know, the people in our community to feel like we were reaching out to them. So we created these pamphlets in Tagalog, Armenian, Thai, English, and Spanish, and we're passing those around to legacy business in East Hollywood so we can engage in these conversations. So this project is gonna, you know, live on beyond just these three panels.
So cool when you put it that way, especially capping it off in terms of the legacy, in terms of the expansion here, and in terms of what it sort of begins, if you will. It seems to me like it's a way to engage with the community on truly meaningful levels that haven't quite yet been seen before, but which are certainly built on ideas of community, ideas of a sort of similarity between people, whether they uphold one flag or another. This is very true, especially in East Hollywood, where there are so many different types of folks. And so I think that that's really fascinating. But why don't you tell me a little bit about the title for this panel series, which is Making Our Neighborhood, Redlining, Gentrification, and Housing in East Hollywood. How is it that you arrived to this term, and what do you think it says about what this project is and what this project does ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like most of our things, Jimmy, it was a total collaboration. So I think, you know, you use the term our neighborhood a lot, and like who is, you know, who is your neighborhood? Our neighborhood was redlined. So I think in coming up with the title, you know, like redlining, gentrification and housing is very much a part of our neighborhood and a part of its history, as well as the resilience and the solidarity that it has existed and continues to exist. So I think at first, you know, our neighborhood is just a way for people to see this panel as something for them, you know, like this is a panel series that is for our neighborhood, and we are part of the neighborhood. This isn't coming from someone outside looking in, like we live here and we understand these topics very, very intimately. I mean, particularly you, Jimmy, because you literally like born and raised here, right? And then, you know, as we were thinking of our neighborhood, then you said, what about making our neighborhood? And I was like, yes, that's perfect, because, you know, these systems of exclusion, these policies of displacement that happened historically, like redlining, like racially restrictive covenants, like Japanese American internment, like segregation, and other forms of systemic racism, like over policing and incarceration, all of those make a neighborhood, right? They affect where people can and can't live. So it caused a lot of different ethnic groups and racial backgrounds to live in one place. So it's one of the reasons where we live is so multi-ethnic. But at the same time, you know, besides these systems of oppression and exclusion, there also exists a lot of resilience. Like people continue to live here, continue to try to thrive here, create like beautiful vibrancy here that has existed since, you know, the 1800s. So that's also very much part of making this neighborhood. So it's not even just the policies that have caused harm, but it's also how people have responded to that and try to thrive despite those policies. And all of those things make our neighborhood. And that's, and I think that's really the core of what we're looking at, like what makes a neighborhood and who should get to say what makes their neighborhood and what is going to happen to their neighborhood in the future, right? And oftentimes it's not the actual residents, it's these bigger systems. So I think we're really looking at like, how can people have more of a say? How have their voices been excluded, and what can we do to avoid that in the future?
Right, and there are two notes that come to mind for me in particular in that regard, because I do think of the site of Hoover as this space where voices that have been historically excluded that are still minimalized and sort of reduced to caricatures at times in popular media, in mainstream media. The site of Hoover is a space where you can catch those voices in their authenticity. You can catch those voices without their tone being edited down to fit some particular narrative or some sort of center perspective that a lot of mainstream media sort of tends to go for. So I do want to shout that out as well, when we sort of allow people to exercise their voice, to exercise their right to free speech, and when we capture that for a community so that a community can hear the authenticity, it comes off. It's very
absolutely clear, right? Yeah, and just another note, like just adding to what you just said, which I think is really important, is, you know, our third panel, which is all about the present and the current gentrification that's happening, right? Like that's attempting to remake our neighborhood for a different demographic. But while that's happening, you know, this side of Hoover, Jimbo Times, they are also part of making the neighborhood, right? And really showcasing who the neighborhood was and who the neighborhood is and who the neighborhood could be. So yeah, that's very much part of creating where we live as well.
Right, and I think it's special because in terms of independent storytelling, in terms of this time frame, some people have described this sort of media desert in Los Angeles, where increasingly freelancers and storytellers are in a difficult position. And yet, especially for storytellers of color, we've sort of always known a difficult position, if you will, but we've sort of invented from difficulty, things we've picked up from those before us, things we've picked up from those around us. And I do think that This Side of Hoover is a clear example of an independent storyteller inventing a space, not entirely by self, but also sort of based on similar work by similarly resilient storytellers of color. So I do think it's important to note that, because events like these come off as authentically as they do, and people see that and people hear that, and it's independent work. And I think there's nothing like that out there. So even while we're sort of looking at a media landscape that's really sort of marginalized at this time of so much privatization, there's also this way in which storytellers such as yourself and such as myself were really sort of coming through with really fascinating ways to tell stories, so that they're not just something on a page, so that they're not just something for the Morning Digest, but so that there's something we can consider continually. And then I also really wanted to note that Making Our Neighborhood, just as you noted, is something that formed as the result of a collaboration and also as the result of persistence, right? Because originally the title for this series, I thought, was likely just redlining, gentrification, and housing. And yet you kept sort of analyzing and looking around and asking, but what else? How can we simplify those terms? How can we simplify these concepts? And so even though originally I thought perhaps not, perhaps redlining, gentrification, and housing is fine, you pushed and you pushed, and little by little, we sort of arrived to this term, right? So it's also just a key example of the way that this type of work is not easy. This type of work also takes a lot of editing, a lot of revision, a lot of questioning of one another's motives, one another's goals, and so on and so forth. And then a lot of checking in. It is difficult work to sort of forge everything together at the end, and yet it can be done. When it's difficult, it's that much more worth it as we look back and we realize, wow, we sort of really made an effort here, but it shows. Because again, as I look at our materials and as people all around the city look at our materials, they can see how much we've placed into this, right? It just speaks, it jumps right out at you, if you will.
Absolutely. And I think we've taken our time and we've done this back and forth and we've paused and we've revisited because we care. You know, we really want to provide something that's the best that we can provide for our community. So I think, it does show. And I'm really, really proud of what we've done, Jimmy.
Likewise, Samantha. And so with all this in mind, I do know that we've got even more in store for people out there. So as if the art and education campaign, and as if these pamphlets in 5 different languages, and as if these stories that we've published were not enough, we've got just one more thing in store for the people of East Hollywood and for the city of Los Angeles out there. So would you tell us a little bit about the sort of final installment of this series, the thing that we want to leave people with at the end of everything once all is said and done?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, like you're saying, this is a huge undertaking. There are so many components, and we really wanted to find a way to like historicize and preserve all these stories and all these conversations and this dialogue around these different topics that are very complex. So what we're doing is we're working on a zine that will have stories and content around redlining, internment, gentrification, and housing. So it's going to be past, present, and future. And we're really going to engage this form of storytelling in a way that preserves our panel series and in a way that people can have something to take home and keep and read and reread as time goes on. And again, it's leaving a legacy behind of this project, and it's a way for people to continue to engage with these topics.
That is absolutely right, Samantha. And So even at this time where there's such a scarcity of literature throughout our communities, we're getting this out to folks, right? We're going to get out a few words by yours truly, a few words by yourself, and photography from this side of Hoover to the people so that they can share with their fams, so that they can share with their tios and tias. And to be sure, all of this is, again, being invented and being done at will as we go forward. So there is a fundraiser for this effort, and we've essentially met each need of our fundraiser just well enough. And this is kind of the last bit. So for those of you all who still want to find ways to support this work and more of it in the days ahead, our Fundly will be posted in the show notes. So please just check that out and support this project. To be sure, our series is when, Samantha? When do we start?
So our first installment is this week with PAST: Redlining, Internment, and Resilience. It's on March 4th, so Thursday at 6 p.m. It's streaming on Zoom, and it will also be streaming on the East Hollywood Neighborhood Council's YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And we are really excited about this panel. Joining us, like I said, are some elders in our community, lifelong residents. So March 4th is our first one. Then our second one is all about documenting gentrification, which is on March 11th. And our last one, which is on the future and the fight for housing, is on March 18th. So it's three consecutive Thursdays at 6 p.m. Again, streaming on Zoom. We'll also be broadcast via YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And the way to RSVP is easthollywood.eventbrite.com. So I repeat, easthollywood.eventbrite.com. And it's free.
Great. Yeah, that was such a great plug. And how many folks are RSVP'd as of this morning, Samantha?
So for our first panel, we already have 384 RSVPs, so they're going quick. We only have a 500-person capacity for the Zoom, so get your RSVPs in soon before they run out.
Yeah. I anticipate that after our first installment, we're only going to have that many more people looking for part two the following week. So RSVP as soon as you can. Space is limited, that's for sure. Samantha, thank you so much for joining us on this episode, and looking forward to this panel series finally beginning.
Thank you for having me, Jimmy. I'm really excited.
All right, Los Angeles, there you have it. Over the last couple of weeks, you have seen our signs for this event. You have caught our pamphlets at a small business in the neighborhood. You have received updates from yours truly via the social media pages and more. And we are finally getting to it, making our neighborhood, redlining, gentrification, and housing in East Hollywood this Thursday, March 4th, starting at 6 p.m. If you are unable to RSVP, since we're reaching near capacity for the Zoom panel setup, you can still catch us at the East Hollywood Neighborhood Council's YouTube or Facebook pages. So just type in East Hollywood Neighborhood Council on Facebook or YouTube to find the channel for the host for this platform, for the host for this series, and you will absolutely still be able to tune in to hear our rich dialogue and interlocution, if you will, if you'll allow me to indulge for a moment in some wordiness. Apart from this, we are nearly there yet with our fundraiser for the event. We have accrued additional expenses since we're providing not one, but two translators for the series. And so go and check out our Fundly page, which is linked within the show notes for this episode, so that you or anyone you know can support with just this last installment, that is translation, on the day of. Okay, so with all that being said, thank you always for supporting JT the LA Storyteller podcast. As always, stay vigilant and stay tuned. This is J.T.T. out with more soon.